Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And as a way of introducing today's program, I'm going to read a verse for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And I cannot tell you how many times in my life I have clung to that verse. And I'm sure there are many people listening right now that often feel like I do, and that is weak. The troubles and trials of life have taken their toll on you, and you're looking for some type of relief. If that's you, then today you have tuned into the right place, because our subject today is how to cope when life brings you thorns. This is a concept introduced in the Bible by the Apostle Paul when he tells us vaguely about his thorn in the flesh, and today we are going to hear a powerful conversation on how to deal with those types of circumstances. Our guest today is Dr. R.T. Kendall. He's a dear friend of my dad's, and the two of them have been in the studio together a number of times throughout the years. They first met in England in 1987. I was there with my dad when he was on a writing trip. At the time, Dr. Kendall was the senior minister at Westminster Chapel, a historic church in the heart of London. He's since retired from that responsibility and has written 50 different books, including the one this conversation is focused on, titled "The Thorn in the Flesh: Hope for All Who Struggle with Impossible Conditions." Another very popular book he's written that we'll hear talked about today is called Total Forgiveness. And we're going to pick up this discussion as my dad, Dr. Dobson, and Dr. Kendall reflect on their dear friendship. So here now is Dr. R.T. Kendall and Dr. James Dobson on this edition of Family Talk.
It has been a pleasure working with Dr. Kendall. I dedicated my book, When God Didn't Make Sense, to Dr. Kendall because of the influence that he'd had on my life. And I have to tell you, R.T., I love having you here today.
Well, I blush to be in your presence. No greater honor in my life has come to me than being with you the time before, than to be asked again. This is a double honor. You, more than anyone else, has had an effect on the sales of Total Forgiveness. I thank you for what you've done.
Well, that's a good book, R.T., and people have been helped by it. You know, most of us have someone we need to forgive, and it's hard to do it, isn't it?
Everybody has a story to tell, and that concept has changed my life, I can tell you. As a matter of fact, if I took the 25 years at Westminster Chapel, narrowed them down to 15 minutes. The most pivotal moment was when my friend Joseph Zone said, "R.T., you must totally forgive them. Unless you totally forgive them, you will be in chains. Release them, and you will be released." Nobody had ever talked to me like that in my life. And out of that came the book, Total Forgiveness.
And God really can't bless you fully until you let go of your anger and your resentment.
Absolutely right.
Well, do you remember that encounter in 1987 when we came to your church and got acquainted with you?
I remember it as though it were yesterday. Something happened between us, and we've been friends ever since.
There was a bonding
that took place there. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, now look, I feel led to say something to you. I believe I'm led of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jim, as I listened to you recently on national television, you're often brought before great programs, and a lot of people are watching you. And I had one thought. What will happen if anything happened to Dr. James Dobson? And I could weep at the thought. And I wondered, how many people pray for you? How many pray for your protection, for your health, that God will give you many, many years? I cannot imagine. To me, it's unthinkable. I die 1,000 deaths at the thought if you weren't here, because I don't know of anybody saying what you say. And if I had the power, I'd like to recruit 1 million people to pray every single day for your safety and for your health, and for many years. Forgive me, but I feel that I must say this, and I hope that every person listening to me, if he or she hasn't already been doing it, to covenant with God from this day to pray every single day for your protection and health, and God will give you many years.
Well, RT, I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you said. You know, God can raise up whom he will, and he's not short on candidates to step in and take the responsibility. So I'm not invincible, and I know that, and I'm not irreplaceable. I know that, but I would appreciate prayers. But
I've said it, and I hope everybody will be listening to me. Every single person will covenant from this day to pray for you every day for your health and protection.
You told me in my office, RT, that you have prayed for me every day for several years.
Well, the truth is, for about 11 years, I have prayed for you and Shirley every day. I have not missed a day praying for you and Shirley in 11 years.
What a gift! What a gift of friendship and love.
Well, I think there are people listening to me that love you as much as I do and respect you as much as I do. And I couldn't be more serious. I would love to recruit 1 million. And I just hope the response is great and people will write in from all over the world saying that they're going to listen to me. And It is the greatest thing I think you might ever do for the kingdom of God. So thank you for letting me say it.
Well, again, I thank you. I will admit to you that there are many, many pressures on us at this time because the institution of the family has fallen apart. It's on the ropes. Marriage is under attack from every side, particularly from those that want to change its definition and want homosexual marriage and who knows what else they have in mind for it. And children are at stake. And all of a sudden, we're going to just say, go do what you want to with unborn life.
Well,
there's so many things like that that we're fighting for and against, and the load is heavy.
Well, thank you for letting me say it. I took a risk. Thank you.
Well, thank you, RT, and it's very characteristic of you to think of others, and in this case, me. In that way, and I do love and appreciate you. You have you've written a book that I want to talk to you about today, and I know that our listeners are really going to be helped by it. It's called The Thorn in the Flesh, Hope for All Who Struggle with Impossible Conditions. There are a lot of people who are, almost everybody, one way or another.
I think everybody has what the Apostle Paul called a thorn in the flesh. He never tells us what his was. He uses what I would call an umbrella term. We can all get under that umbrella. Had he told us what his thorn in the flesh was, then we'd all say, well, that was his.
We wouldn't have identified with him.
Exactly. But because he didn't tell us, we can all say, wait a minute, I've got that.
Well, what is the definition of a thorn in the flesh? How does it differ from a trial, we'll say?
Well, it lasts longer. It is what I would call an intensive kind of chastening, but more long-term, something that doesn't go away. And even the Apostle Paul, you would have thought he gets his prayers answered, said three times I prayed that it would be removed. And the only answer he got back was when God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, sorry, Paul, that thorn has got to stay.
Why do you suppose, RT, why wouldn't the Lord remove this thorn from the flesh of a man who was his theologian? He was his evangelist. He was out there, you know, in other countries, in ships. He was inconvenienced. He often didn't have enough food. He was stoned and left for dead. Why wouldn't the Lord do that for him?
I'll tell you why. Because he had an ego problem. And it may surprise you. We may think, oh, not the Apostle Paul. He is so spiritual. But he actually said, to keep me from being conceited, or to keep me from being exalted too highly from other people, whatever. He said, I had to have it. And I think when we get to heaven and we'll ask him, Paul, what was your thorn in the flesh? He'll tell us then, and then he'll look and say, it was exactly what I needed.
You gave an example in the book of your wife, Louise, and a thorn that she had early on, a physical problem that came upon her.
Well, we were on vacation, it's been 15 years ago, in Florida, and she punctured an eardrum. As it happened, and it was this awful ringing in her ear, and it wouldn't go away. And she had it checked, and she really had punctured her eardrum. Our first Sunday back in London, in the providence of God, a deaf lady sat next to her. And immediately, Louise connected with her. Wouldn't have had she not had that problem. And she knew in her heart she would need to learn sign language. Not because she thought she'd be deaf. She said, I just knew I had to do it. And the result was she learned sign language. We started a ministry to the deaf in Westminster Chapel. And by the time I left, we had 15 or 20 deaf people that would come and sit down on the second, third, fourth, fifth rows. We always put them down front so that they could see me. And Louise would sign to them. And it was one of the greatest ministries in Westminster Chapel. Wouldn't have happened had Louise not had that accident.
You know, so the point is that God can use these thorns.
Exactly. They're not for nothing. God doesn't do it to punish us. He doesn't do it to see us in pain. There is a strategy. And everything He allows to happen is for our own good. He only wants what's best for us.
Can thorns be brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and cranky neighbors and in-laws and pastors, maybe?
All the above. Plus, you can, you know, the list is endless. In the book, Thorn in the Flesh, chapters are loneliness, unhappy employment, an enemy, a handicap, unhappy living conditions, a sexual misgiving, an unhappy marriage, chronic illness, personality problems, money matters. The list really is endless. And I think every child of God has at least one thorn in the flesh, something that is painful. You pray about it again and again, and God says, sorry, this is what you need for the time.
Is it often true that solid, committed Christians fight against this malady or this thorn and fail to accept it and then begin to question God for it?
That can happen. That can happen. And I think when they do, maybe the pain gets just a little bit worse because something is needed to get our attention. And this is God's way of saying, look, I'm wanting more time with you. This is what it's going to take for you to acknowledge me. I have needed things, Jim, that would drive me to my knees. And when you've got something severe like this, it will keep you humbled before God.
You know, I've done a lot of counseling in my life, and I've had a number of people come to me because of a thorn. They didn't call it that. But the agitation that they can cause. I think of one woman in particular. This is a long time ago, so I'm not revealing anything. But she was very agitated over a mother-in-law that she just absolutely could not stand. And she was miserable over this. And I kind of took a survey of her life with her. And I said, now let's see. Let's count the circumstances here. You've got two really healthy, good kids. They're bright. They're doing well. They're happy. You've got a good husband who loves you. He's healthy. You're healthy. I just went through all of the good things in our life. But you are miserable because you cannot accept this mother-in-law that's getting on your nerves. Couldn't you come to terms with that? You know, I found out real early that people don't like to be talked to this way because they want you to say, I don't blame you. This woman's terrible, you know.
Yeah, most people don't want their problems solved. They want them understood.
Absolutely, yeah. But on balance, she should have been able to say, I'm pretty blessed. Mm. You know, I think I can cope with this. Mm. Is that typical?
Yeah. The truth is, if we're vessels that God has chosen to be used of Him, we all need something to keep us on our toes, whether it is something physical, financial problems. Some people have a problem with money all their lives. They can't handle money. It's a thorn in the flesh. As I say, the list is endless, but it's God's way of keeping us sharp and humbled.
I just finished a book called Franklin and Winston. It's
really?
It's on the relationship between Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill during the war years, and it's their correspondence and the visits that they made to one another, and it's the things that were said to one another when the atomic bomb was developed and on D-Day and things of this nature. And it was just really a fascinating book. But you look at the thorn in the flesh in those two gentlemen. You've got one of them, Franklin Roosevelt, who was a paraplegic, was in a wheelchair. People had no idea how inconvenient that was for him, and to have been president for as many years as he was with that malady, with that disability, must have been very agitating to him early on. It was a thorn in the flesh, even though I'm not sure that he had a relationship with Christ. I'm not aware of it. And Winston Churchill, of course, was rejected politically. He came through some pretty terrible experiences when he was out of government and out of the public eye. The Lord used a lot of that and brought those two men together at a time when the world really hung in the balance. Would you call those thorns?
No question. Good question whether it can happen to a non-Christian. He wouldn't or she wouldn't use that phrase, and I couldn't be sure of God's motive in that case, but certainly to a Christian, it's God's way of getting our attention. And for those of us whose weakness is taking ourselves a little bit too seriously, God knows what to do to bring us down a notch or two.
I can't quote you exactly, but I saw in a book that you said that if you think you don't have an element of pride, you're denying reality.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
All of us have some inappropriate pride.
You've got an exalted view of yourself. And, you know, the paradox of church history is that the greatest saints have always seen themselves as the greatest sinners. Doesn't mean that they were immoral doing anything like that, but it's like Isaiah in the 6th chapter when he saw the glory of the Lord. He says, "Woe is me." When we see ourselves in the light of God's glory, we don't come out looking very good, and we need the cleansing blood of Jesus.
Do you have a thorn?
I certainly do.
You're not about to tell us about it.
Why should I? Paul didn't tell his. Why should I? But he didn't tell what his thorn was. And, you know, I wonder at times whether I should tell that to people. But then I thought if I did, then they'll say, "Oh, I don't have that problem."
Yeah.
And it's better that they know that all leaders, if they're honest, have something. And it's just something that won't go away. And we say, "Lord, please, please." Paul said he asked the Lord 3 times. I've asked the Lord hundreds of times in my case.
Let me bait you a little bit.
Okay.
If you follow the dictates of Scripture and you're living a godly life and God is using you and you do not have overt, you know, outbroken sin in your life, you're not going to have a thorn in your flesh.
Not so, because then you can get proud about that. In other words, there's the possibility, because you are guileless, guiltless, blameless, then you're going to say, "See there?" And God says, "Uh-oh, you're going to need help here." And so he'll raise up an enemy or something that whereby you will not be able to feel so smug about yourself.
Pride is the big danger, isn't
it?
That worries me more than anything else, because it doth so easily beset.
Well, as I've already said, what shocks me is that the Apostle Paul would need this. And a lot of people may not realize this, but in the context of this account, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, when he first mentions it, he tells about his weakness. And do you know what the weakness was that he refers to? It is soon after he was converted, instead of facing the authorities after becoming a Christian, he let them put him down a wall and sneak out of town. And he left ingloriously. Instead of holding his head high, he ran from what it would have meant. And all his life, he felt so ashamed. He said, if I could turn the clock back, I would have seen what God would have done in all that. But instead, I tiptoed away. And it was a weakness that he could never forget. And it's in that context that he tells about visions and revelations from the Lord. And all the more reason, he said, I needed a thorn. And so when people say, well, what qualifies you for having a thorn in the flesh? I would say two things. The first is, has God been very good to you? If he has, and I know he has. And secondly, if you have a problem with pride, then you qualify to have a thorn in the flesh.
Yeah, that's all of us.
And I would just urge anybody listening to me to look around. What is it in your life that you keep praying about, and you keep praying about, and you keep praying about, and it doesn't go away? Maybe it's God's hint that you're in the Apostle Paul's category. Not bad. Mm-hmm. If he needed it, so do you.
The title of the book is The Thorn in the Flesh by Dr. R.T. Kendall. I want to talk to you some more next time about this book because you read the chapter titles a few minutes ago, and a lot of those require some discussion and elucidation,
if you will.
And we will pick that up next time. But for now, put a ribbon on this program. What do you say to the person out there that says, I got one, and it's driving me crazy?
I would say that God likes you a lot. He's not finished with you yet. There's a purpose in it. There's a divine strategy. And one day, I promise, you will say, it was the best thing that could have happened to me.
That's hard to do, isn't it?
Especially
when you're hurting.
Give it time. Take the promise, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. Doesn't mean by tomorrow afternoon, but give it time. Everything and anything that has happened, God causes it to work together for good.
You know, I know you know this, but some of these thorns are not trivial. I mean, some of them are like Johnny Erickson Tata, who is a paraplegic and is so limited in her physical strength, and a child who has some major medical problem. Boy, those things just can tear your heart out.
Well, let's talk about Johnny. I've sent her this book, and I once asked her a question. I said, Johnny, would you like to be healed? And I thought she'd have a real quick answer because I figured everybody asked her that. And she took almost a half a minute and she said, well, yes, but I would be so afraid I would lose the intimacy I have with the Lord. She said the last thing at the end of the day when they put me to bed, the highlight of the day is when I'm there just with Jesus. And she said, I would be afraid I would lose that.
Oh, man.
And you know,
that's convicting.
I say to people who've had problems, look at Johnny Erickson Tata. She could have been bitter and angry with God, and instead she took it, and God made her a world figure. And I say to anybody, who knows how God will use that? So even in the little things, you don't complain and say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know why, but you've allowed it. It's for my good. And then if it's big, who knows how God will use it? I repeat, Jim, there's a divine strategy behind it. It's not for nothing.
Our guest has been Dr. R.T. Kendall, a great friend, a man I respect as highly as anybody on earth. And it's been a pleasure having him here today. And next time, we'll pick up right here. Thank you, R.T.
Thank you.
You've been listening to part one of a stirring conversation titled When Life Brings You Thorns here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and I hope everyone listening has found a ray of hope in what we've heard today. God really can use the most difficult parts of our stories to bring about His will in our lives. And we are so grateful to Dr. Kendall for spending time with us today to help us understand this concept and to accept it. So if you'd like to learn more about dealing with a thorn in the flesh, don't miss part two of this program that's going to air next time. And in the meantime, if you'd like a copy of Dr. Kendall's book on this topic, it's called The Thorn in the Flesh. It's available on our website, drjamesdobson.org, or when you call us at 877-732-6825. There's another book I thought of when we were listening to the broadcast today, and that was my dad's book, When God Doesn't Make Sense. When bad things happen in our lives, it's easy to ask a bunch of why questions and wonder if God is there or listening or if He even exists. If you need some help processing these bad times, please come to our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for more with Dr. R.T. Kendall here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.